Well, you know, like I said at the beginning, I think it's more important now than ever to make sure that we're viewed as being able to work together to solve these problems that are confronting us. And we have many priorities, but the prominent ones are working together to make Kansas a better place for us and our kids. And then we've got economic development. I think, you know, I'm kind of biased that way simply because I'm on the Commerce Committee, and I think that the benefits of a rising economy, a growing population, and as you know, Kansas is almost stagnant from 2012 to 22, according to the census. We've got to do better than that. Otherwise, you know, if you can't grow, I'm not sure how you make things better inside, although we have a great quality of life. So I would say economic development, balance the budget, and get some tax reduction, particularly property tax. And as I said in the beginning, we've got to do better in particularly special ed for K through 12 and then higher education. And I would also add Medicaid expansion and daycare, I think, is a big deal. We've just got to do better there, too. But I think one of the things that I kind of worry about is the process that we go through to ensure good legislation. And, you know, I'm not always convinced that we're getting a good hearing for things that needed to be debated. You know, that means scheduling a hearing, letting those people who are impacted know there's a hearing well in advance, and then having the hearing and getting that bill chance to get out of the committee onto the floor and make sure that good legislation then receives a fair vote. Sometimes, you know, legislation doesn't make it out of the committee, so there's no chance to vote on it at all. And so those kinds of procedural things I think we've got to do better on. On the economy, you know, we had that enough money so that we were able to buy down about $1 billion in CAPERS debt that would run over through the Brownback administration. That saves about $80 million a year in interest. We put $500 million into the budget stabilization fund. Some people call that a rainy day fund. And then we've got an ending balance over $2 billion. So the bulk of this money is really ought to be viewed as one-time money. So that money, I would argue, needs to make sure that we buy down debt and make investments which provide us with returns that last into the future. If you put if you put things that are going to cost you money every single year against that one-time money, when that one-time money runs out, then you've got to find another way to pay for it. Now, given that the revenue is coming in higher than expected for the past couple of years, we ought to be able to use that money to help buy down taxes and things like that for all of our citizens. I think there's enough trend analysis in there that we can do that. And as I said before, these things like LAVTR, which is specifically legislated to go towards property tax relief, would provide about, you know, 2.5 to 3 mils of relief for us. And I think the other thing that everybody needs to keep in mind that we've got probably about $7 billion of exemptions. And what that means is you could have earned, had it been taxed, $7 billion more for the state had we not had those exemptions. So that narrows the tax base. I talked about education and the need for K-12 to help our kids recover. Talked about them higher education being a economic driver for the state of Kansas, not only for keeping our kids educated, making them competitive for the good jobs, keeping them here, but also bringing in new business. And that research that provides innovation and internships, magnets for new business. I think we really got to pay attention to that. And then, as I said, for Jim Ganan out there at MATC, he's got a lot on his plate, and I've talked to some at the Board of Regents, and I think we can find some ways to help him out. Medicaid expansion, we've talked about. I think the time has come, and there's a great need, and it's actually a boon for our finances. Manhattan has provided funding for workforce housing and has actually undertaken this recent study. So I think those initiatives can be matched in the legislature. And so far, we've done a little bit, on rural housing or creating housing above existing businesses in rural communities, but that's not very much. I'm just not sure how we do that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Manhattan does here, because if it's a good model, we ought to be able to export it. Oh. On child care, one of the things I tell people is we are no longer in the condition in the 1950s and 1960s where Mrs. Cleaver was there at home to greet Beaver when he came home from school. We've got both parents working very hard to try to make a living and provide for their families. And so when both parents work, child care becomes really a necessity. And child care expense is about the same as a mortgage. And those providing child care have a hard time making a living. I mean, the ones that probably are best placed or actually in the best financial position are those that provide child care out of our churches, because most of the time the overhead's covered. So we've got to find a way, and I think the task force has some great ideas for group homes and child care out of homes and grandmas taking care of kids and things like that. That could be a model for other communities. Having mentors to help set up these child care services, telling child care providers how important they are, and all those kinds of things, and maybe grouping businesses together to provide for child care. So there's a lot to be done there, but I think we're in a better shape than we might have been before. But this is still a tough nut to crack.